on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, November 4th, 2024 edition of Invest Talk. We are in the midst of the election season. Tomorrow we have the major event that I think a lot of people are kind of tired of talking about, a lot of election fatigue around. But ultimately, we'll hopefully know the answer to the big question is, what will the future of government in the United States look like? And how will that ultimately impact your lives, impact the economy, impact investments, etc.? And, you know, we won't know that full answer. That'll be answered in time. But at least we'll start the road, right? We'll know what path generally we're going down. And the markets are currently speculating on that, but that's just speculation. We won't know until the votes are in and the votes are counted. So buckle up. We also have the Fed Day coming up later in the week as well. Usually that's all people are talking about during Fed Week, but this is a unique one. And so a lot to talk about over the next few days. And certainly we will love hearing your voices and your questions. What's on your mind? And our goal here is to help give you some perspective and some down-to-earth answers. Answers that are not based on speculation, but based on fact. Not rooted in some sort of political ideology or some sort of hopes and dreams of what the world will be, but what the world is today. That's what our focus is, because ultimately that's what matters. What is the world today? What is it likely to be in the future as well? So that's what the show is really about, helping you take that next step in your own version of financial freedom, which is based on the lack of emotion, okay? And even though we're in the midst of this election season, which is very emotional, okay? Now, in just a bit, we're going to talk about today's market performance and run down today's show topics. But as usual, we're going to tackle this caller question first.
Hi, Justin or Lou. I'm calling about a fairly new ETF, ticker symbol FCTE. I don't have much data on it, but I heard about it through a friend. I was wondering if you could take a look and if you could pull it up in your system and let me know if you think it's a good investment. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Interesting one here. This is let's see. What's the name of this one? SMI 314 Full Cycle Trend. I have not heard of this one. Full Cycle Trend. It's hard for me to give you an answer on this because I would really have to dig into what this strategy is. Obviously, the caller didn't give me much to work with there. We take these. I don't prep for these calls. Now, it is recently. It is new. It came out in July. Let me look at the holdings because at least I can get some sense of what they're doing. It's 100% U.S. equities. And it looks like it's about 20% technology, 15% consumer defensive, 15% healthcare, zero energy, zero basic materials, 15% consumer. I'm assuming this has something to do with, when you say full cycle trend, they're looking at maybe the business cycle and adjusting the portfolio accordingly and buying companies that maybe are aligned with a particular trend. You know, it seems like more of a trend following type of strategy. Honestly, though, I don't know enough about it. I wish I could give you some deeper answers, but being so new and how little time I have to really dig into it, I can't really say up or down on this. But I like the idea, at least, of if it's executed well, full cycle, right? And we do this at KPP, where we focus on the business cycle, lean on the sectors that are likely to do well based on the growth of the market, growth of the economy, excuse me, growth of inflation or lack thereof. And based on those factors, you typically can see certain slices of the market outperform or underperform. For example, if the economy is reaccelerating, inflation's reaccelerating, what happens with interest rates? Interest rates tend to go up. And therefore, bond proxies, like utilities, tend to go down and vice versa, right? So in an environment where bonds are doing well, utilities should do well also, and vice versa. And so those are the type of decisions we make for clients. And maybe this is what the crux of their positioning is as well. Now, they don't have any utilities right now. They don't have energy, they don't have basic materials. What worries me, though, is that, yes, energy hasn't been doing well, but basic materials have been doing great. And so why do they have no basic materials? I would really have to understand the strategy deeper. But thanks for the call. And maybe you can email me and give me a rundown of the strategy. I can give you, you know, my opinion, whether it's up or down. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes. And our focus point concerns this question: flipping houses versus renting, which real estate investment strategy is right for you? Each endeavor has its distinct pros and cons. And we are going to dig into that based on your financial objectives, time, etc., and which one's right for you, okay? So we're going to look at that topic. In addition, we have some others on the docket. One is the Trump trade. There's a lot of Trump trades, things like if Trump wins, obviously DJT, Trump Digital Media and Technology Group, that's been going up, recently gone down since the odds have started to kind of correcting themselves back to closer to 50-50 of a race, like I said a week ago. But other trades as well have kind of come in a little bit. Bitcoin, gold, treasuries have been selling off, et cetera. So there's certain trades, and we're going to dig into which ones make sense and which ones kind of don't. Okay. Then also, there's been a boom in factory building over the past few years, mainly due to the CHIPS and Science Act, as well as the Inflation Reduction Act. And the big question is, will that continue under a Trump or a Kamala presidency? Okay. So we'll look at those topics. We also have voice bank questions in regards to SoFi Technologies, as well as Applied Industrial Technologies, AIT. We also have questions that came in via the comment section over on our YouTube channel as well. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions live. We encourage those. We love those. I love talking to you live back and forth. So don't hesitate to pick up the phone and give us a call at 888-99-CHART. Now we're going into a short break, and on the other side, we'll talk about today's market activity. And by the way, it looks like we will hit the 60 million download mark this week, probably on Wednesday. And so we thank you for that. And please remember that you can call anytime and leave your question on the InvestTalk voice bank. That number is always 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is made better when listeners add their voices.
This is Nick from Seattle.
Hey, this is Steve out of Charleston, South Carolina.
Could you comment on Barrick Gold, G-O-L-D?
And Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are always ready to provide unbiased answers.
Be patient. Don't rush into anything. Understand what you own.
I would probably trim here, but I don't see any reason why you'd want to sell out of it.
Voice bank calls are very important, but so are the spontaneous questions that come in during the InvestTalk live stream.
Let's pivot over to a live call. We love those.
Looks like we got our first live call. I love live calls.
If you've never called, what are you waiting for?
Let's go take another live call.
Tell your friends, live a little, live a little.
Looks like we got a live call.
Call InvestTalk weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it sure does. I appreciate the advice.
888-99-CHART. InvestTalk. Your questions are free. The answers are unbiased. Justin Klein is here now. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Let's take a quick look at the markets today. You had the S&P 500 that was down 16 points. So let's call it 0.3% or so. Yeah, 0.28% exactly. The broad NYSE that was barely down, down about less than 5/10 of 1%, excuse me, that's what it was down. You have the MOVE index. That was kind of the interesting one. That continues to move higher. 136 on the MOVE index. This is starting to creep up close to that 150 range. When it gets to 150, this is a problem for the broader market, most importantly for the Treasury market. And this will require the Fed to step in and probably ease more aggressively. So, you know, and the big question is, why is the Treasury market suddenly becoming a bit dysfunctional? Is it worries about inflation and spending going forward? Is it worries about the debt issuance going forward in the first quarter, for example? It's one of the reasons I think the Treasury is focusing on the short end of the Treasury curve. Is it because of the reverse repo drawing down eventually to zero? That's kind of a wonky technical term behind the scenes that's been kind of propping up the demand for Treasuries. So there's a lot to this, but it's something that I'm continuing to watch and definitely is the most worrying part of what's happening in the market right now. Now, once again, I don't want to freak everybody out, but that's just, I'm just calling it like it is. The first, I think, real worry sign that I've seen in a while. Okay, now, after the election, after the Fed announcement, that certainly could change. It could drop back to 110, 120, and now, you know, it's off the radar. But something I will continue to watch. You have the NASDAQ down 0.3% as well. So that was definitely weaker than the broader market. You had Bitcoin down nearly 3% on the day. Tesla down about 2.5%, or some other big movers. Amazon down 1% after the big move up on Friday. And I think that's Microsoft down a little bit. Yeah, growth certainly underperformed on the day. And large cap certainly underperformed overall. So tomorrow, you might think there's going to be a lot of market gyrations. Frankly, probably not. You're not going to get a lot of understanding of what the election outcome will be pretty much until Wednesday morning. And so tomorrow, I expect kind of a holding pattern overall. Although you could see some front running of certain trades here and there, but overall, I expect a holding pattern. Gold did tick up a little bit on the day, and you had the dollar tick down a bit on the day, although closing near the highs, so kind of rallied throughout the day. So that was the market today, and I think fireworks will happen Wednesday and Thursday during the Fed meeting. I hope you all been telling your friends that our Invest Talk audio podcasts are available in video form over on our YouTube channel. And it seems like every day we get questions submitted via the comment section. So let's tackle one of those right now. Muck02 says, SMCI has plummeted due to its accounting irregularities. At this valuation, would you think about investing in SMCI? This is one of those great lessons that everybody should learn. This is why we talk about investing in companies based on the reality and not on the hype. And I always thought SMCI was one of the weakest within the space just because it's smaller and so niche and didn't really have a great track record of good leadership, et cetera. And you're seeing that now. This peaked out at over $122 per share. Now it's down to $26 per share. Now, what I will say is it is getting down to levels that I think a lot of these risks are priced in. I'll tell you what I did in my personal account. I actually sold some 17 strike puts, the 26 now. I did that last week. I believe I did it on Friday. Got some nice premium there. And so, you know, I think it's in the zone of good valuation. But ultimately, it depends on, you know, how bad those accounting irregularities are. We probably won't get a resolution to that in the short term. So I feel like 17 between here and 17 is pretty good support. And so that's why I sold those 17 strike puts. And I do think it's pretty good risk versus reward here after this fall. Thanks for the question. Now we're moving into a break. Still to come in this podcast and radio show on AM 1220 in the Silicon Valley area. I will tackle more of your voice bank calls and get to the main focus point. But stay with me. Give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
now nearing 60 million downloads, InvestTalk is ready 24/7 for your finance and investment questions.
My five-year-old son and I listen to your podcast every night, so thank you very much for putting it on.
Justin Klein is here and ready to tackle your questions.
Is it a good idea to sell your losses in a Roth IRA and just use whatever you have left to reinvest into better stocks?
Wondering what you thought about this REIT, if it would be a good time to get in.
I wanted to pick your brain about Apple. What did you think about their earnings call? Is this a good time to add to my position?
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many factors. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a live call, talking to Sid in North Carolina, looking at Playboy.
Hi, Justin. Thank you for your time and taking the call. Yes, I do have this in my portfolio, picked up some time. So currently I'm at loss. But I saw that lately there was some moment and it was almost a penny, but 60, 70 cents, and now it is $1.30, something. Do you think this has some spark left, or should I sell it off and take loss? What's your input? Thank you so much for your time.
Well, you know, this is a difficult one because Playboy has a fantastic brand. It's just been horribly managed since really throughout the years from a business perspective. And you know, they did just enter a strategic partnership with Byborg Group. And, you know, I think it's one of those things that, you know, who knows, it gives them some cash flow and I think keeps them out of bankruptcy for a period of time because of this 15-year agreement gives them $20 million in annual payments to Playboy and for 15 years. So that's $300 million going forward that they can probably borrow against and do some things to kind of keep their business afloat in the near term and right size it. So I think this gives them a little more runway to get back to better management of a brand that's, you know, one of the most widely known. But it's still very high risk. This gives them, like I said, just more runway. It doesn't give them guarantee that the management will execute. If you have better, if you want to take the loss and you have better opportunities out there for the money, then I would sell it. If you don't feel like you have a better place to do it, you don't need the loss or whatever, then, you know, maybe you bet on it, but it's still high risk, like I said. So I don't have an answer one way or the other. It just depends on your risk tolerance level and your opportunity costs elsewhere. Thanks for the call. Now, my focus point today concerns flipping versus renting. And I love this topic because real estate investing is something a lot of people see as their road to riches and financial independence. And I certainly think for certain people, it can work. But for a lot of people, they don't go into it with their eyes wide open. They think it's easy. They think they call it mailbox money, that it's just you buy a house, you rent it, and suddenly, you know, the money rolls in and you're good to go. But it's a lot more complex than that, especially when you're looking at two different types of strategies, flipping a house versus renting. And, you know, the simple answer to which one is right for you, it depends entirely on your goals. Flipping a house usually takes around 6 months on average, but can take a lot more and a lot more time, a lot more of your time. But you can make a lot more money just in one deal if you do it right. Many people can earn, you know, 50%+ on their investment in just a short period of time. Now, there are some pros and cons to that, which we'll get into here now. Now, flipping is not really an investment. It's really more like a job because managing and overseeing the project, even though if you're not doing the work yourself, usually you're hiring contractors, you're coordinating everything, getting the plans approved with the city, you're buying insurance, you're borrowing money, typically, setting up a timeline and a budget, and it's a big endeavor. And so it really should be considered more of a business rather than an investment. And before you ever get into that, you need to learn a lot, everything you can about each part of the business. You know, where the headaches are, talk to people that have done this before, what they've learned, where they've seen major things go wrong. Because what happens when a flip goes wrong is you can actually lose a lot of money, and you've gone through a lot of stress, a lot of work, and it can go awry really quick. Especially if you buy when the market is declining, meaning, you know, you're fighting against time, you're fighting an uphill battle against a market that is maybe become from going from a buyer's market from a seller's market to a buyer's market, right? And suddenly, once you bought during the seller's market and you're trying to sell during a buyer's market, that can be a challenge, okay? And then not to mention, you know, contractors that can stiff you, the city that can hold things up, etc. So there's a lot that goes into it. Now, you know, the pros are, though, that, you know, it's quick return on your money. And once again, there can be bumps in the road, but it can be, you know, like it's just, like I said, 6 months on average. That could go longer, could be a little shorter, but a lot of people like that quick turnover and big returns. Another pro is that once you're done, you move on. You don't have to worry about finding tenants, collecting rent checks, property management, etc. You don't need to be a landlord. Now, the cons are it's inconsistent. You know, some projects may be big winners, others not. Others might be losers, okay? So it's not really consistent income. And what about all the other things you could do, the other career that you can get into? Because really, flipping a house is a full-time job. And then taxes. Especially if you're not owning it for longer than a year, you're doing like 6 month projects, that is taxed at typically the highest income tax rate. Okay. So those are the pros and cons of flipping. And after the break, I'll get into the pros and cons of long-term buy and hold real estate investing. Now, in the next Invest Talk, we'll look into this topic. Wall Street's hot streak. Will the stock market keep soaring? With seasonal trends and positive economic indicators at play, many experts anticipate continued market growth. That's tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein and ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART.
Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
Invest Talk. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are ready to answer your finance and investment questions 24/7, 888-99-CHART.
Now, before the break, I touched on the pros and cons of flipping houses, but let's talk about the pros and cons of long-term buy and hold renting. Now, the first pro is simply it's kind of passive income, right? If you get injured, you're unable to work, et cetera, you still receive your rental income. Now, I kind of balk at the passive income moniker of buy and hold renting because it's more like a part-time job. So I'll get to that in the cons. But for most people, at least you can hire property managers, et cetera, and you can release a lot of the burden. But still, it's a lot easier on the time and the body when you are a buy and hold long term renter. Now, the second pro is over time, it's a inflation hedge. Okay, it likely will go up over time, especially in an inflationary environment. You will see long-term price appreciation. And then once you do sell it, you can capture those long-term capital gains at that 15 or 20% rate, depending on, you know, your income for the year, what the tax situation is. But that's a lot better than the 25 to 43% that you're going to pay when you're flipping a house short-term. You can also write off a lot of expenses, repairs, maintenance, things to gas to drive to and from the property, for example, cost of a property manager if you do hire one, and the list goes on and on, finding ways to really find expenses that you can write off on that investment, as well as, most importantly, depreciation. Obviously, Trump loves depreciation. It's a big part of real estate investing, and being able to take that depreciation, which is a non-cash transaction, but will save you thousands of dollars a year on taxes. Now, once again, you do recapture. It's called the cap. It's a depreciation recapture when you do sell that property. But you can do things like 1031 exchanges. You can do deferred sales trusts, etc., that can help mitigate that issue. Now, the con: risk of vacancy. Obviously, you could have tenants that don't pay, tenants that move out, and then you have trouble filling that property for a number of months, as well as getting the cost of getting that property back up to speed for the new renters. That can be expensive as well. And you add on top of that the maintenance costs. And if you are trying to manage that property yourself, it's probably a part-time job. That's why I don't really like it to say it's a passive income. It's still some activity. And you know, you can hire a property manager, but that eats into your overall cash flow and returns. And so ideally, you don't really want to have to do that if you don't have to. So that's a con. And then I think those are the two. Yeah, those are the two main cons there: vacancies and that property management, and you know, sudden expenses. Think of it: AC goes out, a flood, etc. And that can be a big challenge. So these are the pros and cons, and you have to go into each endeavor with your eyes wide open. Now let's keep things moving and pivot back to the InvestDoc Voice Bank. It never closes at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Duncan Forbes, calling for a quick question on stock tipple SoFi, S-O-F-I. It's a financial stock, fintech actually, and their recent earnings came out on October 28th, and it seemed everything was good. Return on equity increased. All their products seemed increased too. I got this information from a growth investor podcast, and I just wanted to see your two thoughts on it. I know it's still a risky business, but looking forward to your advice. Have a great day. Bye.
All right. Looking at SoFi Technologies, and first off, I'm always a bit weary when companies sponsor big sports stadiums. Now, it doesn't always have to be the case, but just think throughout the years. It's been, especially if it's a newer company, hasn't been around a long time, and SoFi hasn't. It started in 2011, so it's been around 13 years. So you're talking a little over a decade in. They're sponsoring one of the largest stadiums in the country, SoFi Field here in Los Angeles. And that worries me. And then you get into its financials, and it's free cash flow is negative. The return equity has turned positive. That's true. But it's only 3.6%. Head in the right direction. I'll agree with that. But if you look at things like free cash flow, it remains very negative, even though it is improving. You know, so a lot of things are improving, headed towards nice profitability this year. And it, you know, over the past, call it four quarters, it's earned 10 cents a share. But it's a almost $11 stock. So you're talking about over 100 times earnings, even though they go based on forward-looking earnings. So if they earn 27 cents a share next year, you're talking about 40 times earnings. That's still very expensive. Now, the good thing is it has a good balance sheet, but its shares outstanding continues to march higher. Back in 2021, it had 794 million shares outstanding. Now it has nearly 1.1 billion. So it's diluted shareholders consistently throughout the last few years, and I don't like that either. Now, from a technical perspective, it's on an uptrend. Okay, it has moved positively. And I will give it kind of a thumbs up technically. Okay, but it's extremely high risk. It's still extremely expensive, and it's going to have to continue to grow very consistently. Now, for everyone else out there, if you don't know what SoFi does, I talked about it sponsoring the stadium, but it's a financial service company. It's known for student loan refinancing business mainly, but it also offers personal loans, credit cards, mortgages, investment accounts, etc. So it's more of a fintech company and way to access a lot of younger people through refinancing those student loans, and it gives them access to help them with other products. Okay. Now, the good thing is the consumer is in good shape generally, and I think that's helping SoFi, but I think it's too expensive even at this growth level. And that's why I'd say it's still extremely high risk. But if you want to play the momentum, go ahead. I just don't think it's good value. Now, we have some time, so let me drop another question from our Invest Talk YouTube channel. Adrian Vasquez says, what are your thoughts on SPLV as a long-term set it and forget it ETF? Thank you, and RIP Steve. Appreciate those sentiments. Now, SPLV, this is one of those stocks or one of those ETFs that I have trouble with the name. Okay. Now, it's the Invesco S&P 500 Low Volatility ETF. Low Volatility ETF. So what it makes people believe is that you are investing in companies that have low volatility, that it's low risk. When in reality, these are still equities at the end of the day. And it can still drop dramatically. Okay. So if I go to a monthly chart, I'm going to zoom back out here. Now, this did come out in 2011, so post-financial crisis. But let's just look at the COVID crisis, okay? This fell from a high of about $62 down to a low of $38 in the span of 2 months. Okay, so that's a big drop. Does that seem like low volatility to you? It's over 30% drop in 2 months. For most people, they wouldn't consider that low volatility. So that's the first thing you have to do, is you have to think, okay, are you getting what the title says? And my answer is no, not really. You're still getting equity volatility. And you have to understand that. Now, if you look at the construction of the portfolio, it's a large cap value fund. Now, I like value. You know, I like leaning on the value side of the market right now. So from that standpoint, I give it a thumbs up. Technology, you're only at 8%. You're at 22% financial services, 12% industrials, consumer defensive, 14%, utilities, 12%. Now, utilities are low volatility, but long term, they have lower returns. Okay. So that's my issue here, is that if you're just going based on low volatility, you're going to tend to buy companies that have lower long-term returns like utilities. So is this a better risk-adjusted ETF than, say, the S&P in general? Yeah, I do like that because I like the structure of the sector breakdown better than the S&P. But I think you can do better by just buying, say, a large cap value ETF that's going to have similar characteristics, but not 12% in utilities, for example. So don't get caught up in the name and think that's exactly what you're getting. You're getting this safe investment. No, it's not safe. It's still equities, okay? And I'll go look at Vanguard Value ETF, ETV. I'm not saying you go buy that one, but something similar. Utilities only 5% of that portfolio, okay? Industrials are 13, so a little bit better there. So I think that is a better way to gain access to large cap value stocks than the S&P low volatility ETF. Okay. Thanks for the call. Now let's touch on some of the Trump trades. There's been a lot over the past few weeks. You've seen Bitcoin, gold, and the dollar rally, DJT rally, treasuries sell off along with the Mexican peso, healthcare and prison stocks have gone up, and clean energy stocks have gone down. European defense stocks have gone up, and bank stocks have gone up as well. So let's dig into a few of these and see which ones make sense. Now, the first one, the biggest one, is DJT. And obviously, in some ways, it would be a winner if Trump wins. But look at the business. It's not really a business. They do have a lot of cash. But sales last year, get this, $836,900. Yeah, you read that right. Less than $1 million in sales. And its current market value is $6 billion, 6.1. That's more than 3,000 times annual sales. Now, you know, if I see anything north of 10 times sales, that's usually pretty expensive. This is 3,000 times sales. So this is a pure speculative vehicle. That is it. This is not at any valuation that makes any sense at all. Okay. Now, the next one would be the prison stocks, Geo Group, CoreCivic, et cetera. They're up as of late. And this one makes sense because obviously Trump wants to do some mass deportation. Obviously, those people will have to go into prisons for a short period of time before they are deported. So that one makes sense. And also, Trump is just going to be friendlier to the private prison industry. Now, the dollar is up, bond yields are up, and gold is up. And frankly, I think some of that makes sense. Now, I think the dollar up is based on a stronger economy, but J.D. Vance, his vice president, has talked about wanting a weaker dollar so that it helps the manufacturing industry. So I actually think Trump will find ways to weaken the dollar. Bond yields are up, and I think that makes sense because a weaker dollar and more importing of goods, reshoring of goods, manufacturing, excuse me, that will create inflation. Obviously, tariffs would create inflation, and gold is up in sympathy as well. So of those three, I think the dollar being up doesn't make quite as much sense. Now, the peso has been down, but a lot of this, I think, has to do with some of their issues around their judiciary, remaking of the judiciary in Mexico, and there's been some volatility there. So I think it has more to do with that, because I don't see Mexico really being hurt too much by a reshoring of manufacturing, mainly because there's a lot of business that will still need to be done, a lot of products that will still need to be produced in places like Mexico, and think widgets, small parts of full products that will need to be made there and imported here to the United States. So I actually think Mexico will benefit from a Trump presidency. So I don't see that as making sense. Bitcoin's up, but if you look at its correlation with the odds of Trump winning, it's been kind of all over the board. So it doesn't really have a clear indication one way or the other, despite Trump being friendly to the crypto industry. Healthcare stocks have fallen about 3%. And I think that does make sense. Why? Because if you look at RFK, maybe coming in and trying to put some more regulation around the process of getting drugs approved and maybe pushing against drug prices going up, et cetera, finding alternatives to your mainstream drugs as well. I think that all kind of makes sense. On top of that, obviously, he wants to get rid of Obamacare. And I think the healthcare companies certainly had a big hand in writing Obamacare and profiting from that as well. European defense stocks, they should, you would imagine, go up because Trump is wanting to pull supports for European defense and they want to beef up their defense. But what's interesting is that they've been trading in opposite directions. They've been going down when Trump odds have been going up and vice versa. And so I thought that was interesting as well. Now, the one that makes the most sense to me, bank stocks going up. Lower regulation would help bank stocks, both large and small. And obviously, a strong economy would help them as well. But I think it's more about less regulation. So It's pretty interesting to see the way the market moves. And remember, the market doesn't always get these things right. It can go one way, and then ultimately the new administration, whether that is Trump or Kamala, can surprise and bring somebody in that has different views, or maybe not as strong as views as the market had expected. And so it'll be very interesting to see how these markets move, but don't just take them on face value. You really have to dig into them and see what makes sense going forward. Now, 2024 is moving fast, and proof is we are in the last couple of months closing in on holiday season. Next holiday is Thanksgiving. So the big question for you is, are you prepared for this, the rest of this year and beyond? Do you understand the liquidity in the market, the trends in the market, and how you are positioned compared to your overall risk tolerance level? Well, I encourage you, if you need help, to reach out to me and set up a portfolio review. It's free and complimentary, and you can do that by heading over to investtalk.com and setting up a Zoom meeting with me. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm ready for your calls at 888-99-CHART.
The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Gentlemen, my name is Lauren. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware, and I have a question about AIT, Applied Industrial Technology. It looks very good. I have purchased some, and I really want to buy more, but I'd like to get your opinion of this stock before I make any move. I'll listen on the podcast, and I thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the call, and you are hitting on a company that is actually on our watch list over at KPP. It is a name that we are interested in purchasing. Now, we have not fired on it, mainly because we found other names that we like slightly better, but we do really like this name, mainly because of its consistent profitability. Usually, return equity is hanging around the 20% range. Now it's at 23, so we really like that. Return invested capital around 17, and that's also typically hangs around the mid-teens. It has pretty much no debt on its balance sheet, so we love that. $406 million in free cash flow on a market cap of about $9 billion. So, you know, not a huge free cash flow, but about 4.5% or so. It has a dividend, but it's not big, only about two-thirds of 1%, but it consistently takes that cash flow and buys back shares. So we really like that. Now, long-term, I don't think you can go wrong with this. It's an industrial name. And what we like about it is it distributes industrial products such as power transmission components. We love that. That's one of the main reasons we just like this industry that it's in, as well as tools, bearings, safety products, etc. So mid-cap name out of Cleveland, Ohio. And it's not a fast grower, but it's a consistent business, consistent cash flows, great business. And I have no problem buying more of it. Now, the question is, do you buy more of it now? You know, I you know, that it's a bit overbought. We would like a pullback. Ideally, let me give you a number here. I would love to buy it around the 200-week moving average. Right now, that's around 170. That's going to go up over time. But call it, you know, below 200 would be amazing. I would love to pick it up below 200. So that was AIT. Now let's squeeze in one more listener question now.
Hi, Luke and Justin. This is Matt from Minneapolis, longtime listener. I've been looking at some stocks that I feel people will always need, and that's food. I've been looking at K.R. Kroger and SFM, which I believe is Sprouts Family Market or Farmers Market. Would either of these ever be appealing to get into? And would the prices they're at be good? And what do you think about this area of the market to get into? Is this something to be in and hold for long term? Thank you for your thoughts. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. Looking at Kroger's and Sprouts Farmers Market. Now, Sprouts is certainly smaller, $13 billion market cap there, $40 billion for Kroger's. Now, we own Sprouts for managed accounts, and we've owned it for a long time. You're going to love this. We bought this around $20 per share I think it was around COVID. I'm trying to remember the exact date. It's been so long since we bought it. We've just been buying and holding it. And now it's at $131 per share. The reason we bought it is because of secular trends. Sprouts is a company that sells more natural and organic foods, and younger generation, like they want those type of foods. And there was a lot of runway for them for growth. They mainly were focused here in California, but now they're in 23 different states, 407 stores. They're opening more and more stores throughout the country, and they just have a model that is very appealing to the average consumer, and consumers are now they're spending more money at home. So I do like the idea of investing in supermarkets because people are going out less. It's more expensive to eat out than it is to eat at home. And you have more control over what's going in your body and your health there. So we much rather invest in companies that are focused on natural and organic foods. And so we would rather own Sprouts. We continue to hold it. It's a great company. It is a bit expensive at the current time. So, you know, we've trimmed recently a little bit, but still we're holding, you know, our significant position in Sprouts. And I'd much rather buy that for the long term. Thanks for the call. Well, I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And remember, we can help you better understand your portfolio dynamics and calculate your risk number. All you have to do is head over to investtalk.com and click on the portfolio review button. This is free and it is confidential. This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.